When people think of the World Wide Web and they're looking for cheese, they will come to me and me alone.
Hello and welcome to the first podcast. Today we are joined with the enigmatic Diction. Diction, would you like to introduce the podcast?
Hi, welcome to the first podcast. I don't know how you introduce this because I haven't heard it yet. Yeah.
That's usually how we do it.
Yeah, the one thing you need to do when you introduce the podcast is introduce the podcast, and you succeeded.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
You've passed the first trial of the first podcast. There are 17 trials.
Okay.
Can go ahead and list them off, Kudos, while you're at it.
Okay.
Yeah, all 17, go.
Okay, well, the first one was introducing the podcast. Second one was if you can cook a good steak dinner. Third one was how many presidents you can name. Fourth was helping me remember my Amazon login. I should know my PayPal because I always forget that one. Fifth, you have to solve a Rubik's Cube that some of the pieces have been like pulled apart and put back on, so you're not entirely sure if it's doable, but you're also not entirely sure how Rubik's Cubes work, so that might be possible. Was that five or six? Seven was keeping order of this list and making sure all the numbers are in the right order. Eight is doing that thing where like you recycle old calendars because every number of years the dates sync up again to the days. So figuring out what that is and then doing that. I'm assuming it's every 7 years, but that's the thing. It's one of the trials, not to give away too many hints. Nine is going to a Japanese restaurant and ordering cocktails in Japanese to kind of impress the bartender, but the bartender's actually from like Portugal, so you're not sure if that's like insensitive or whatever, but you're trying to show off, and it kind of works. Like your audience is sort of impressed, but
sure.
He certainly is not. 10 is getting deals from KFC without having to download the app, because you don't want to have an app on your phone that like just steals your data for KFC, but somehow you manage to sweet talk the lady at the counter into giving you the deals anyway. 11 is setting up a Discord in such a way that it doesn't have people posting gore or pornography in all the channels. That's quite a hard one.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. Was that 11? We got
I can't start doing number four or whatever, but yeah, until you finish.
Yeah, well, was it number four or five was keeping track of the list? So, I mean, just keep that in mind. That's also one of the trials.
Something like that, yeah.
12 is learning to love. And, you know, that one, we don't expect you to do on this podcast. That might take a lifetime to accomplish, but eventually you might get there. Perhaps you already are there, and in which case you could sort of fill us in. 13 is navigating the house market in 2021. That one's quite hard. 14, it's the Japanese cocktail one again. But that one was quite important, so we really want to phone home just the importance of that. 15, I think it's 15. Look, I mean, my phone's really old. I had this old phone, and I don't know if there's anything that you can do to speed that up. Like, I run out of data on it.
Age your phone?
No, like, it's a really old phone, and I there's no space on it for the new iOS update, but there's, like, kind of a bit of space on it, and I can't figure out how to get the rest of it, so maybe that, if you could figure that one out.
I can defrag your phone, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. 16 is figuring out who has @penis on Twitter and getting them to DM me. And 17 is just being a good guest on the podcast. And those are the 17 trials of the first podcast.
All right. I can't do the last one. The other ones I think I can handle.
Okay.
I'm just like really pleased with your commitment to that bit.
Seriously.
You didn't have to do that at all.
What bit?
Yeah, that's the problem with Twitter is that @penis is kind of closed down. Like, it's not really active.
Yeah, so that was the sad thing is I went to see who has @penis today, has 73 followers, made in 2007, and some guys obviously just made this and then just forgot about it, and now no one will ever have @penis, and I think that's a bit sad.
It probably didn't anticipate like what meme culture would be like in Twitter, like once it started to like take off. They're like, oh, this is gonna be hilarious, dude. I've got @penis on this new app that just showed up like a year ago. And then, like, yeah, they just started seeing all the other better you know, like Stealth Mountain and shit like that. They're like, oh, I didn't really have any ideas for that. The penis part was the joke, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is these days, at penis is probably worth like a pretty sizable amount of money to the right company.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
I'm indeed. Sure there's some porn companies or like condom brands or some you know, some kind of cheeky thing like that.
They got some poor, like, unpaid intern at Fuck Jerry, whose only job is to try to get that account.
And they whip him every day, regardless of his success. Yeah.
Give him tinier and tinier morsels of food at lunch until he does it.
They shave a centimeter off each side of his chair each day, so it becomes harder and harder to sit on.
That reminds me of a thing from my childhood, which is that, like, one day I got really keen on the idea of getting the... This is back when people had websites, like actual, not like the four websites that exist today. I mean, there were actually like millions of individual websites.
And, yeah, like GeoCities. You just like make your own website.
And I really wanted Lars.com, and I remember being really bummed out that someone else had that idea before me.
Yeah.
And I really wanted that as a kid.
What were you going to do with it once you had it?
Oh, I probably put like Pokemon cheat codes on it or something.
Cool gifts you found online.
Yeah.
A visitor tracker that has 40 people on the ticket. Yeah.
But that you set up to start at 4,000.
Yeah. It's funny those early websites like that, which like people just squat on certain domains. And I still think it's insane to me that websites like steam.com is just like owned by a squatter. Like somehow Valve and their millions or billions of dollars really couldn't somehow persuade this guy to give up steam.com.
They probably don't. They don't want to, and they don't need to, because they have their own app. Like,
that's true.
You Google Steam, it immediately goes to their page where you download their app, and you're there.
I mean, that's true. They
probably just like saw that and they're like, we don't need it. We don't need this. He can have it.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like Steam would probably offer them like a pretty sizable bootlick for that. Like, why? Like, it feels weird to me that you would hang on to steam.com out of principle. Like, who gives a shit?
Because isn't it when you go to it, it just says, like, if you go steam.com, it says steam.com is reserved for our future project. But it used to just say, like, this is the official website of
the concept of Steam.
It was for, like, some Steam Gasworks, like, place. And then it just said, this domain is not for sale. It's just like... I feel like that was almost taking the piss at that point. But it definitely caught me out a few times back in the day. I'd be like, oh, better, you know, for some reason, if I couldn't be bothered pulling up the Steam app, I'll just go steam.com. And then, right, stored at steampower.com or whatever?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of funny about, like, the website era is just that you have to wonder what some of these people... Like, an example I would give here of something kind of cheeky is cheese.com. I don't know if you guys ever went to this website back in the day. It was just about people who love cheese. And it's amusing to me that, like, people would love cheese so much that they're like, I want to do the website for cheese.
It's just... Yeah. That's fair.
Now it's still up. I'm on there right now. But it looks like you can maybe order cheese.
Yeah, I'm seeing on here it has cheese facts, vegetarian cheeses, cheese and wine pairings. Yeah.
1833 cheese waiting for you to explore. It's a lot of cheeses. 92 pages of cheese.
It's very well designed. I like the UI. It's really well put together.
Yeah, this is actually a good website.
Makes me want cheese. Like, you start scrolling down and there's some delicious looking cheeses on there. I don't blame them.
Their plan is working.
But, like, who's the guy behind this? Like, who does this? Who says, I want to be the cheese mongler, like the guy who's in charge of this?
Cheese monger sounds like a slur. People think of
the World Wide Web and they're looking for cheese. They will come to me and me alone.
Yeah.
Well, I had a talk with Tom Videoga, member of the First Podcast Patreon and general good guy, about the most expensive website names. Because obviously there's some really hot ones that people want to snag up. And I think actually some of the top ones were to do with like car insurance, which is not, you'd think like number one would be like porn.com or, you know, like the kind of the most basic thought. But yeah, it was something really weird to do with insurance stuff. Because I guess that's what boomers are typing into their URL bars these days.
Yeah, well, probably.
You probably make more money on car insurance than you do on porn. So it's like, that's probably the...
Yeah, here you go.
Especially for AAA.
He put a list in chat. So number one is business.com, and it sold for $345 million. So, I mean, they definitely did business.com. And then LasVegas.com, carinsurance.com, insurance.com, vacationrentals.com. Yes, I mean, I guess, are people just typing in random things and putting .com at the end? It's such a weird way to browse the internet, but...
If you're over the age of like 55, then you like, when they Google, they always put .com at the end of it.
Yeah. But also it's weird to me because like the terms are so generic that I feel like the results that I would get would not be very high quality. Like I wouldn't go to carinsurance.com if I wanted to get car insurance. I would type in car insurance in Google and like compare like actual.
Yeah.
Like that's too generic.
But so you're thinking like someone who knows how to use the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
You have to think about the people with a lot of money who don't and are just typing in. Oh, insurance.
Or just old people in general.
Yeah.
There's that one dude who set up a Twitter account for his grandfather who didn't know how to use the internet very well, and he convinced him. And when he typed in the, you know, in the tweet box, it was a Google search. So his tweets are always just like really weird search like terms that old people would search for.
That's great.
Like Confederate flag for less than $3 and stuff like that.
What's I had an actual thought about this today while I was bored at work, and I'm curious what you guys think about it. Which is that when you turn 18 from now on. And then if you're already 18, then this is going to be for everyone from 18 to 80 years old. You have to take a one-time mandatory basic computer comprehension and skills class.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I always found it weird in university when like this was only what, like 8 or 9 years ago, I suppose. I'm not that old. But there'd be girls who'd be not bragging, but kind of like thought it was cute how they didn't know how to use the internet. You know, like they'll be kind of like on the, oh, can someone please pirate Photoshop for me? I just don't know how any of this works. And like they would just be very computer illiterate and think that that's like a funny thing, I suppose.
The very charming.
Yeah. And it's
like, yeah, like I want to date a girl that I have to constantly help her open her phone. Like, that sounds great.
It was just weird. It was like if your mum does, it's kind of like, oh, don't worry, mum, I'll help you with that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're 21 and I don't think you can't really get away with not knowing how to use computers anymore. They're not just for nerds. You can still be cool and use a computer.
It's not like driving a stick shift, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can get away with not doing that for your whole life. You'll be okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I'd even argue that being able to drive a stick is, I mean, there's going to be one day that, you know, someone, your car breaks down and your friend says, I have a car you can borrow, but it's manual. And that's going to come in really in handy, though. So I think that's useful, too.
But we live in the age of Uber and Lyft, so I wouldn't even need to borrow the car.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
I just had to clarify as well.
My thing back in the day when I used to tell people I couldn't drive stick, they'd be like, well, what if you get into an accident? Or like, what if you're driving with your friend who does drive stick and they have a heart attack and you have to drive to the hospital? I'm like, when is that ever going to fucking happen? That is such an extreme circumstance that will never occur. Like, I'm not going to go learn stick shift just because of this, you know, like fake scenario you've created in your mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's useful, but you'd probably get away with it.
The only scenario I could see it being worked is like in some like Bruce Willis, like action movie shit where like your car flips
exactly.
And you need to like jump into someone else's car and like drive away with guns blazing around. Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
Also, I've been in cars with people who drive stick. It is frustrating to watch, especially if you're in traffic. It looks like the most obnoxious way to drive.
Yeah.
You're just constantly pedaling, shifting back. Like when you're on the freeway, it's one thing, but then when you're in the middle of the city, it's like that. Not for me.
I know it probably seems like it's more that's quite frustrating, but as someone who learned how to drive on a stick, I used to have a 71 Volkswagen bus. It's you just get completely used to it. Like you don't
I'm sure it's like it's secondhand, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I get easily frustrated when I'm driving in traffic, and I just imagine that would just pile on, you know?
Yeah.
I like the idea of it.
The only downside to it is, like, if you have a girl in the car with you, like, your hands are going to be always occupied. Like, you can't, like, physically interact with them at all, and that's kind of That's one of the fun things to do.
You can't pet their heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't feed them.
Just like rest your hand on their shoulder, you know. Mm-hmm.
You can't feed them grapes or, yeah. That sucks, man. speaking of girls, I just want to clarify. It probably sounds like I was being a fucking asshole before saying girls are ditzy and don't know how to use computers. I was just saying from my experience at university, I remember a lot of girls doing that on the Facebook page. Yeah. But
I would honestly say I think the biggest offender, the biggest group offender is probably boomer men when it comes to like not good. And that's why, okay, so here's the thing. Not only would this program help like us be less frustrated with boomers, but also like it fucking rocks to be able to use a computer competently. Mm. Like it makes your life so much better to know how to parse a Google search and like just all I can always find out exactly what I need to find out at any given time, and I can look up the instructions for it and stuff. That's very useful to be able to do.
You've got the entire world's intelligence at your fingertips. I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to become proficient with that.
Yeah.
I've kind of had the opposite experience to a lot of people because my dad's more computer literate than I am. Like he's a wizard. He's got like home networks and all these crazy, like, every time he tells me the shit he's got, I'm like, what the hell, Dad? So I've never had the like dad not being able to use computers thing. If anything, I have to ask him like, hey, how the fuck do you set up like a home network that backs up every night? Because that would actually be really useful. But my mum is illiterate, but she's a nice kind of illiterate where she defers to me. I'd hate to have you hear the stories of people who's like mums would blame them when the computer break, like, oh, you're playing the game too much. That's why the computer's broken. You're not allowed to have that anymore. Who just like wouldn't listen to reason. So mum is not that. She believes me when I tell her something's wrong.
I don't know if you guys have experienced this, by the way, but this is something that I've observed a lot for older people, which is that they don't understand the concept of the computer programs that we have being designed intuitively. They think, like a lot of older people seem to think that everything we do on the computer is just pure rote memorization of how to do it, as opposed to like, there's like a file menu and an edit menu and things tend, like the preferences tend to be in the edit or the file menu, and there's like a logic to it. They just think, you just have to, you have to figure out where it's randomly on the screen and then type it or press it. Like they don't seem to get that there's a science behind how the computer is designed.
This consistency amongst all like computer apps or phone apps.
Yeah.
Like there's processes and ways of interacting with it that are consistent across all of it. And unless you're getting into like really random shit, like, I don't know, video editing or whatever, but
yeah,
I'm sure most.
Well, even then though, kudos. I mean, like if you learn how to use Premiere, you can probably figure out Edition, and then from there you can probably figure out Photoshop.
Yeah. Between all the Adobe suites, a lot of the hotkeys are the same and stuff. So yeah, there is consistency amongst a lot of things. Anyway, shout out to our boomer listeners. I'm glad you found your way here.
All four of them.
Yeah. Diction, I just realized we didn't really like.
Yeah, we
didn't really introduce you.
It's fine. It's cool.
All right. But why don't you go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I'm a YouTuber. Well, was YouTuber. I haven't posted a video in a very long time.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone who still watches my YouTube. mainly Twitch streamer, entertainer. You know, I play video games and yell at them.
And Twitch.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
On twitch.tv, yes, indeed.
Do you Twitch a lot while you're playing games?
I have restless leg syndrome, so I guess that kind of counts.
Yeah. Oh, see? Speaking of kind of lame jokes, so we were talking earlier, and apparently, like, this is the first time you've ever heard someone say, you've been tricked by the dict.
Yeah, that's a new one.
I'm shocked that was a new one. I feel like that's something you would have heard every day for the last 8 years.
No. People usually they stick with dick, and they don't keep going with the T there. So that's a new one.
All right, so I'll give myself credit for that.
Congratulations, Lodge. You've created a new dick pun that Diction hasn't heard. That's impressive.
Well, I brought it up because Kuda said like, oh, we shouldn't have wasted that off air. So,
oh, I like. Do you guys
find
have
down in the comments
have things like that where people bring up every single time
Yes.
They hear your name. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I mean, we talked about this on the podcast before, but I mean, the obvious thing that everyone ever always says when they hear that my name is Lars is, you mean like the guy from Metallica?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. Yep. Yep. Yeah. See, that's the obvious one. And that's then, the low-hanging fruit right there.
And then the next thing they always say is, I bet you hear that all the time. And I'm like, yep, I do.
You solved your own riddle. Congratulations.
Yeah. What's sad is that they started on the ground floor of that thought, and then they got to level two, but they didn't get to the level three of, oh, this is something he probably hears a lot. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Like, they never really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're just trying to relate to me, but yeah, I don't know.
It's an icebreaker, but it's a lame one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a movie nerd. I would have been like Lars von Trier make some stupid joke about Antichrist or something, and no one would get it, and I just walk away.
I would have gotten that. I would have appreciated that. That would have been just like different.
All right, there we go.
Yeah. Good one. Thank you.
Yeah. At least I always think like, man, imagine if you had like some kind of physical deformity and then like having people bring that up. Like probably not in like
what
a mean way.
What kind of people do you meet on a regular basis?
Yeah, like in a mean way.
Oh, I noticed your arm is chopped in half. I noticed
you
only
have
a
tiny little man coming out of your chest. His name's Quanto, you say? Oh, wow, interesting.
But you know, like I feel like if you had something not like grotesque, perhaps, but just something that was a bit off, it'd probably be like a ticking time bomb when you meet new people before someone says like, so, you know, I hate to be rude, but why
you
do
have
you
an
have
eye patch?
This? Yeah, that has to be. Yeah,
what's
like if
up
you had
with your face, dude. I have to ask.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're not right, are you?
I mean, well, I have tattoos on my arm, so that usually is like a pretty big conversation starter when I'm like shopping or at a restaurant or something.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's easy, you know?
Yeah, and also, I'm guessing you're not displeased with people talking about them.
No, I do have one that's like, it's a St. Jude tattoo that I got for raising money for the hospital, and it's pretty awesome. I'm really proud of it. But I'm not religious, so I've had several run-ins with people, at least before the pandemic and everything, where they would like talk to me about religion, and I was like, "Oh no, it's the children's hospital." I thought I'm not actually, and it would get a little awkward.
I just love children. Like, what can I say? No, wait.
I'm just not a big fan of children with cancer. Okay, I really am so big that I got this tattoo.
You need to get an Antichrist tattoo on the opposite side of your body so you can kind of like balance it out.
Just a pair of scissors and a clitoris?
Is that
too far for this podcast?
No, that's not far. Honestly, that's not far enough. Yeah.
No, I don't think people will be offended. I just think they won't understand the reference. That's all.
Just go watch Antichrist and you'll get it.
Yeah.
It's not hard to put two and two together. Figure it out.
Yeah.
He sews a nice new clitoris using some scissors.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So while we're talking about boomers, by the way, okay, so what's the deal with them licking their fingers whenever they turn
a
page?
What's the deal? What, do you spit on your pages instead? How do you turn pages?
By using my fingers?
Yeah, but all boomers have a sore case of dry finger. Don't you know that?
Yeah, it seems like it's true. They're always like, and then they like, it's gross. They do it in public too. Like, they'll just like, just at the grocery store, they're like, oh, I got to. Got to change this page or something. And
do you reckon that's a big? They have to put signs up in bookstores now saying, "Please don't lick your fingers to turn pages."
Yeah, especially now. It is really gross. Like, I get it because like sometimes the pages stick together, and I get with like that's why they have like at like cash registers at like CVS or Walgreens or something. They have that little like sponge thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like water. It's just water, so they can lip. Put through the cash or whatever.
Yeah.
Just get one of those. I bet you can find one on Amazon. It's like, I don't know what you would call it, but yeah, one of those things.
What would you do if you saw someone like, instead of, they just cut out the middleman and they turn the page with their tongue each time?
Gross. Ew. I mean, it'd be kind of impressive. Like, it'd be funny in the sense that it was so inappropriate.
But it's efficient. You can't get more wet than, like, the tip of your tongue. And, you know, it's got movement enough to flip a page.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What other boomer habits are there that are funny?
Buying houses when the market's crashing?
Yeah.
That classic one. Oh.
Classic one. My parents just bought another house, actually.
how are people doing this? I don't.
My parents are, I guess they just are really good at saving their money. Real good.
Cause I feel like at this point, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to just like straight up own a house. And I'm not poor. Like it's not a situation where like I'm doing poorly. It's just like, how the fuck do you afford them?
You don't. My contingency plan is that I'm going to take one of my parents' two houses when they pass on. That's the only logical. I'm not saying that to be like, you know, insensitive. I love my parents, but like that's the logical, you know, road I have ahead of me because of this world.
It's everyone I know who has a house has it with, they bought it with a partner, so they weren't like, no one was able to just buy it by themselves.
Alors, comment devrions nous commencer une introduction?
Is that French? Can we get a translator?
King's English. No need for translation, sir. I can speak it well enough.
Good. My name is Dr. Raymond Ham, and I
am a doctor. A like-minded individual, no doubt. Wherein is your specialty, sir?
Cryptobiology. Why?
A medical man, such as myself, wonders abound. And here, I worried I had been abducted by common street thugs. This place, then, this is your laboratory. I had wondered, as clean as it is, and with such little trace of the pestilence here.
The pestilence? What do you mean?
The scourge. The great dying. Come now, you know the... what is it they call it? No matter. The pestilence, yes. It abounds outside these walls, you know. So many have succumbed, and many more will continue to, until such time as a perfect cure can be developed. Fortunately, I am very close. It is my duty in life to rid the world of it, you see. The cure... to end all cures.
When you say the great dying, are you talking about the bubonic plague?
I don't know what that is.
I see. Right, well, the entities are agents encountered at the house. They were dead when you encountered them. Yes, you reanimated them.
In a manner of speaking, you see things too simply, Doctor. Expand your horizons. Life and death. Sickness and health. These are amateur terms for amateur physicians. There is only one ailment that exists in the world of men, and that is the pestilence, and nothing else. Make no mistake, they were very ill. All of them.
You think you cured those people?
Indeed. My cure is most effective.
But the things we recovered were not human.
Yes. Well, it is not a perfect cure, but that will come with time and further experimentation. I have spent a lifetime developing my methods, Dr. Ham, and will spend a lifetime more if necessary. Now, we have wasted too much time. There is work to do. I will require a laboratory of my own, one where I can continue my research unimpeded. And assistance, of course, though I can provide those on my own in time.
I don't think our organization would be willing to...
Nonsense. We are all men of science. Fetch your coat and show me to my quarters, Doctor. Our work begins now.
They bought it with a partner, with help from their parents, and they bought it back in the small New Zealand town that I'm from. Like, no one has it in, like, a really big city. Although New Zealand does famously,
well, you guys
have
only have
market.
The one big city, so
yeah,
yeah. Well, exactly. Well, yeah, and Wellington is, that's a second biggest city, and the housing market there is awful as well. So yeah, you pretty much have to stay in like a small town, buy it out in the suburbs, and then just pray that you can pay off your mortgage.
Diction, what kind of games do you like to play on stream?
Oh, all sorts. A loaded question. I don't do Apex Legends. I tried doing, you know, the shooters for a while, but now it's mostly like very, very crappy Russian simulator games seem to do pretty well. People like to watch it. The one stream I do every week that has no games is I watch videos, compilations of like ghosts and paranormal stuff and make fun of them.
Those
ghosts
aren't real.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Do you not have any? Real. You don't have any paranormal experiences at all?
No, nothing that couldn't be explained away by, you know, pareidolia or the wind or, you know, like an old house creaking, you know, just logical things.
I
do have one situation that I haven't been able to explain by natural means, but I mean, like,
I'm an expert. I can help you out with it.
I don't think it was ghosts, though. We've talked about that on the podcast before. I can bring it up again if you guys want.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
It was the time I accessed the internet without having internet access. Like, there was no physical means for me to be going on the web.
Oh.
Like, there was
no, you had no Wi-Fi and no Ethernet cable plugged in.
Yeah, and this was a computer that I knew, like, through and thin. Like, it wasn't a situation where I was just oblivious to the components. I still haven't been able to figure that one out.
What did you access on it? Like, did you, like, was it just cached stuff in Google Chrome? Like in Google's browser?
Nope, I posted MySpace comments and LiveJournal posts.
Oh. And they were there?
It was on cheese.com.
Yeah. I went to cheese.com.
It reviews 18 cheeses, and those reviews are still up to this day.
Yeah. But also, like, I don't think that it was ghosts giving me Wi-Fi access. I still don't believe in ghosts.
Well, yeah, that's a really specific thing for a ghost to want to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, unless it's like that that Japanese movie Pulse or whatever. Anytime it's electronic stuff, I'm immediately like, immediately my brain's just like, well, electronics fuck up all the time.
Yeah.
They do weird things all the time.
So this would be like a reverse fuck up.
It works.
Kinda, yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe the graphics card somehow developed Wi-Fi or something, or I don't know.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Some old PCs have weird fucking stuff in it.
Yeah.
Like old monitors that had speakers. Actually, my monitors have speakers in them, but I don't know why the hell you use them because they sound like shit.
By the way, I know I'm saying all this like fact, like it's a fact, but I don't expect anyone to believe me. Like I'm not saying this like expecting you guys to think that I'm like accurate in my reporting with this. This is just what I experienced at some point. And that's really the only thing. Yeah. Like basically every moment of my existence makes sense. Like, you know,
my life is logical.
Yeah.
That's why I can't buy a house.
Yeah. Whenever I take stock of things, I'm like, yeah, that adds up. Like I can see how I got to this point. I can see what I've done to, fuck things up and, yeah.
So I kind of my ghostly story, I can't remember if I told it here or not. I don't have a ghost story, but I have a funny one related to ghosts, which is that I'm from like a very, very, very small town in rural New Zealand. And it's sort of been like in my family for generations. But we used to, my like grandfather used to run the tavern in the town, which is this really classic like Kiwi, like British pub type beat. It's really cool in there. But I think back in the day, I don't know if he just did this to like drum up interest or get people out or whatever, but he said that it was haunted. And that is like we know that that's invented by him, but people to this day believe that it is haunted, to the point that there was this really shitty ghost hunting show in New Zealand that was on like national TV. And they actually visited the pub and, you know, did all their bullshit, like electromagnetic wave, whatever shit.
EMF meter is going to fire. Oh, my God.
But the funny thing was, the story is, it's a gold mining town, like a lot of places in New Zealand are in that area. And so they used to have, this tavern was from gold mining times, and they used to have, you know, like a prostitutes there and, you know, or the whole classic 1800s shebang. And I think the story my granddad made up is that it was a prostitute who was killed and now her ghost haunts the pub and the hotel. But I guess the ghost hunting show got their wives confused or something or other, and they said that the name of the prostitute, it was the same name as my grandma. So I guess they just like looked like, I don't know what happened. There was some crossover somewhere, or maybe they just looked up in the registry and they're like, oh yeah, that name suits. So yeah, apparently my grandma's a prostitute from the 1800s who died and now haunts this tavern.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's funny though.
I mean, that's a smart business move. People love haunted
yeah.
anything, you know.
Well, it does work. People do, you know.
Yeah.
It is well known in the area. Although it's funny, my mum, because we used to have like a family home in the area as well. My mum had like, she has like multiple stories of weird stuff happening in that house, which again, she's like us, like skeptical. She's like, well, it wasn't a ghost, but she just can't explain why it happened. And then in combination with everyone thinking there's the town is kind of haunted, it does add to that. You know, those are my ghost stories.
Drumming up more viewership on Twitch by saying my stream is haunted.
That's a great idea.
That is a cool idea.
Like, unironically, finding a good gimmick is always a good idea, even if it's complete bullshit. Which I guess like explains, because I've never really understood before why those calling the blah 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 at 3 a.m. videos work. But I guess it's just because interesting story, even if it's obviously like a 5-year-old shouldn't even believe it. But
no, there's a couple channels that we watch regularly that are kind of like that. One of them is called Life of Luxury, which has the title has nothing to do with paranormal stuff.
Uh-huh.
But every video on their channel is the same. And it's these two dudes. They're like, I think they're like both in their early 20s.
Yeah.
They get emailed by someone. For a while, it used to be very attractive girls who would look like they just turned 18. And they say that they're experiencing something at their house and they need them to come help her. Why they're talking to these two jackasses, it never makes any sense.
Yeah.
They go there with their cameras. And they're clearly like really bad actors. They don't know. They don't know how to say their lines. They don't know how to make it like sell it and make it seem real. They go. They do a really vague interview with the young girl, and then they're like, "All right, we're gonna put cameras everywhere, and then we're gonna go to sleep." So they film these women sleeping, and then they go sleep together on a futon somewhere in the house. And then, yeah, you see like in the Discord, there's images there, and then usually a dude wearing stilts and with really crappy like spooky makeup crawls out of a crawl space or a closet or something and starts screeching at the cameras. And they all freak out, run out of the house, and then the video just ends. And the guy asks for 100,000 likes on the video.
Well, even that, at least there's some effort that goes into it, because when you say 3 AM challenges, I'm thinking of the dudes like
with like the fake Momo filters on their phones. Yeah. And that's all they do. Yeah.
Have you seen the Among Us one? Because that's been like a constant source of hilarity.
Yeah.
I watched one from like an Argentinian YouTuber, and his energy gave me hives. Like I couldn't vibe with it. It was just so weird, man.
What's that one? The guy who got kind of famous off the Boss Baby one? I'm gonna find him now. Three.
All right, know what you're talking about. I don't care enough to look it up. pissing me off, by the way.
N and A Productions. He's the guy who he spins the fidget spinner at the start of each thing, and he's done literally.
That's the guy. I can't do it with that guy.
The guy
who does like a dance break 2 minutes in.
Yeah, and he's like, be sure to share. And he does the gift card giveaway, which is probably a scam. And he's done literally the exact same video every day for about 5 years, which is like kind of at the point where it's almost commendable. You know, it's like, how do you not get sick?
That would drive me insane, dude.
Yeah. If I try and do the same video two in a row, I get bored. And this guy's doing the same video every week. It's like,
you know, like Dark Side Phil, except screaming at your camera.
Yeah.
More effort.
Well, I guess like the answer to that question of why he's still doing it is because obviously it's financially successful for him. Like obviously bringing in tons of money.
No, but you could say, but like there's so many people who have really successful series and then they just get like sick of it. Like you just, it's, you know, the monetary value isn't worth it for you. I'm just surprised this guy has
like
he hasn't even tried to mix it up. He's just like, well, this is just what I do. The formula is perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to be too judgy, but he does seem like he has a very childlike.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So his attention span is probably so erratic that he doesn't really get bored doing it. You know?
He has Jared Leto Joker tattoos unironically, so that's probably all you really need to know.
he seems simple enough that just like he probably wouldn't get tired of this.
The funny thing about these like 3AM ones, and the Tom posted Eli So Cray, who's another one who did the 3AM call on the Among Us imposter, which is such a funny video, by the way. All these guys have like 3 to 5 million subscribers. It's insane. There's obviously such a market for this, but I don't know. Like even kids aren't this dumb, right? I guess they are.
It's not
an audience I would ever want to cultivate.
No.
Like, I'm fine with my couple hundred viewers per stream doing what I do, man. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that quality, you know? Like, the multitudes and the quality of that audience, just not for me.
Weird, though, because they'll have, like, 5 million subs, but then, like NNA Productions, for example, you know, his views are all over the place. Sometimes they're at, like, 5 mil, and then other times it's at, like 4K.
Well, it's just too much content to keep up with.
I guess he puts a new one out all the time. He's just hoping to hit that meme algorithm, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. Anyway.
Yeah. Fuck him. He's going to listen to this particular episode and just start crying.
He's like, oh, I was going to become a patron. Like,
guys, I'm not going to make a video today. I just don't have it in me.
Yes.
We shatter him. He's just absolutely ruined. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, that guy's been mocked to hell and back on all of YouTube. I'm sure he has a pretty strong stomach for it at this point.
Yeah, no, he probably doesn't even notice it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like chills when people talk about his voice. Like, I'm sure he doesn't care. He's raking in the money.
Also, he's doing that on purpose.
I did. But, yeah. I went on NNA Productions Instagram a while ago, I think, and I'm pretty sure he's got like so much fucking money off this, to your point of why he's doing this. He probably doesn't give a shit at this point. JStation's another example. Although I'd say JStation's worse because he's actually, I don't know, this NNA guy's dumb but kind of inoffensive.
What does JStation do? I've heard the name. I've probably seen a clip.
So, okay, I'm going to give you an option here.
Oh, God.
To unask that question.
All right.
Red pill, blue
pill. You don't want to know.
Rescinded.
Yeah. Guys, if you're listening to this and you haven't heard of JStation, it's not even worth getting into. He's just a bad
dude. Fair enough.
Yeah.
He's an awful person. I genuinely don't feel bad saying that. There's not many people you can say like have irredeemable qualities, but he's definitely one of them.
I'm seeing the word prank in there and I'm already disinterested. Yeah. I'm good.
Mm.
Social experiments.
There you go. Tom posted a screenshot of his Wikipedia page under controversies. There's contacting dead celebrities, Walt Disney World arrest, and assault and fake death of girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy that faked his girlfriend's death. That's where I remember him from. Okay.
Yeah. Which is actually what we're doing on this week's episode of the first podcast. It's actually the 18th trial.
You're just adding trials now?
Yeah. We're faking Lars's death. Okay. I probably shouldn't have said
I thought I was going to have to go out and get a girlfriend and then fake the death. Okay, that's a lot easier.
Oh, God, he's dead already. he's left the channel.
Right, he's back.
I probably shouldn't have announced that it's fake. I realize now that's probably not how this works.
Yeah.
But if Jason was like, what's up, guys? Today we're faking my girlfriend's death and... Oh, wait.
By the way, okay, I wanted to bring something up, and I think that this might ruffle some feathers.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Here we go.
And I'm going to try to put this as diplomatically as possible.
Okay.
Okay. And if either of you are a part of this, I'm not saying it to shame you guys whatsoever, because if I was in the situation, I probably would too. But do you guys ever like kind of you follow a YouTube channel that's pretty small and you know that they're editing all their own stuff and they have like a really distinct style. And then later you find out like after they've grown that they've gotten some editors and stuff and it kind of ruins the magic a little bit for you.
Oh, I was one of those YouTubers.
Okay.
Well,
no offense to my former editor. He did a great job. But yeah. Yeah, it was definitely I noticed a huge dip in my viewership when I switched to having an editor. Like I needed an editor because I was doing so much.
Yeah, sure.
And it happens to a lot of us, but yeah, it was definitely people could tell the flavor was different. I still thought his edits were really fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some trickery that I didn't even know how to do as an editor. But so that's totally, and I don't malign the audience for feeling that way because that's the edits are part of it, you know, like that's part of the humor.
Yeah.
If Funhouse were to like suddenly shift gears and like not use the same editing style for some of their stuff, like they would notice. Like that's a huge part of their content, you know?
On the flip side, like something like Cold Ones, like Prezzo's editing is like integral to the feel of Cold Ones. Like, so if they swapped to, I don't know, chat editing it out of nowhere, we'd probably be like, what the fuck? Yeah, so there's definitely instances where the editor is better and the other one is not, but...
I just want to clarify, by the way, that this is not me trying to throw shade on anyone who uses an editor. I both fully understand why you would and would probably hire one if I had the need for it. Like, yeah. I get it. It's just sometimes I feel like it loses a little bit of the magic. Like, even if the videos are still pretty good, I'm like, well, they're not entirely responsible for this anymore. I don't know. Mm. Like, if I say a name, is that okay? Like, can I give an example here or should I not?
I mean, you're the one that's saying the name.
Okay. Yeah, I have nothing to do with this. Yeah.
And by the way, I still really like this. This is one of my favorite creators.
Okay. Right?
But Gus Johnson has an editor now.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it sucks because it's like he was like a perfect example of the self-fucking-made YouTuber. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose the thing with Gus, though, is that like his editing was more in the good cuts. So as long as I feel like that's something that you can pawn off quite easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was never like After Effects or like wipes or anything. Like, it was always just like knowing to cut for the comedy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just being able, I'm sure he could find someone who knows how to do that because it's, you know, like if you know how to do it, then you're good at it.
Well, yeah, because he has more traditional video stuff. So that makes sense.
Yeah. 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 I definitely think there's people like that. And if you're really bad at editing to begin with, hiring an editor to up your production quality, I think that's like, that can be fine too. But yeah.
Here's our advice to upcoming YouTubers. Be shitty at editing, even if you're good at editing. Make the shittiest edits. So then when you get to that point, you hire an editor, people are like, whoa, this just got like way better.
Well,
it
got really good.
Yeah. I say all that, by the way, like I said, I'm one of Gus Johnson's biggest fans. I think his content is fantastic. And so far I haven't noticed any dip in quality. So it could turn out to be like a great move on his part just to have some of the more piecemeal work kind of shipped off to the side so he can focus on the talent. Like, I totally respect that and hope it works out for him. Also, please come on the podcast, Gus, but
so we can make fun of you
not
live.
Not now. Ruined it.
You'll be like, oh, by the way, before you come on, listen to the diction episode.
I suppose for me, like there's certain things I would offload to an editor. Like sorting through footage sucks, and I mean, it's not that. I've got a pretty good system these days, but like just having someone to like go through and find like the best takes, I guess. Even that though, there's like things that I think some of my best moments come from me fucking up a line and just like deciding like, oh, actually that's really funny, I'm gonna roll with this, versus an editor who might just be like, oh, fuck that line up and just skip over it. So yeah, I guess you can lose some of that magic in that as well, but I feel like I'd want to do like the final edit. And I have heard some big YouTubers, like, I don't know if he still does this, but JonTron said, like, once he got an editor, that he still does the final edit of it all. So he gets sent it and he goes,
I mean, there's nothing saying
it.
You can't, like, sit in a Discord and screen share and just kind of, like, give notes, you know, like, if you're in an editing bay.
Yeah,
but it's still your edit. It's just someone else is doing the chopping, you know?
Yeah. I remember back in the day, H3 Productions. They were looking for an editor at one point, and they tried it for a while, but they found that just like when you have a really stylized way of cutting your videos and stuff, that sometimes it's really hard to translate over to someone else.
Like, well, some of the early stuff is super iconic, like the ice cream tasting. That's a 10 video.
Yeah.
Like that's like a really fun bit of editing done by them, and they brought that sort of style into their videos, to your point. So yeah, it's sort of hard to like outsource that to someone.
Yeah. I don't know. And again, I get why people use editors. So no shade, just an observation I had.
Well, you're canceled now.
Yeah. Sorry guys. That's going to do it for the first podcast.
Lars is canceled, is trending on Twitter. @penis appears to be leading the charge. If you could have any at, what would you have? Like, if you could just click your fingers and just
real
get
Donald
it.
Trump.
Well, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it that like so many people have real in their name? Because to me that would denote a fake account.
I think it's because someone already took Donald Trump before he got on Twitter. So that was the only thing he could do.
I think Kudos is talking about the trend of people doing that, of putting real.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just to copy him, funny. I think.
Yeah, obviously Donald Trump was taken somewhere to go with real. It's just like if you were going to make a scam account, like at real Elon Musk or something, it would be like the first thing you'd think of. Like, nah, guys, it's the real me. Trust me. Anyway, be sure to click this link for free Dogecoins.
Not anymore. Because they tanked.
Ooh. Glad I sold one. Oops. Actually, can we talk about that SNL episode? Because that was one of the worst things I've ever seen, and it really made me laugh at how bad it was.
I've actively avoided any clips from it.
Yeah, I watched Charlie's video on it.
Last night, Elon Musk went on to Saturday Night Live. What a fucking disaster.
And that's all I need to see.
I've watched clips of it. I should say, I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing, but I watched the Wario skit and the Gen Z Hospital and the promo skits they did. Where they had the chemistry of like a wet sock, like stuck in a creek. It was just, the comments as well.
I like how he started it by claiming to be the first host with Asperger's, even though Dan Aykroyd has it. And he was one of the OG cast members.
Yeah.
It's like, that's such a weird, bold claim to make for no fucking reason. Like,
Well, you could say that about a lot of things that Elon says. It's such a weird, stupid thing to say.
I just can't. I'm started unfollowing people that are like retweeted stuff or meme about him. Like, dude, I'm just so tired of this guy.
Yeah. Like,
it was cute for a minute. Teslas are cool. SpaceX is cool. But he just threw money at these ideas. Like, he didn't make them. Like, you're giving him all this credit for having money to throw at projects. That's all he does.
If you made PayPal, then you too could do it.
Well, I think that, like, I don't know, like, being a investor and ambassador for a cool concept, that's fun, that's nice. Like,
yeah,
there's commendable things you can give him,
but then
for
he got
sure
a big like ego about it.
Yeah,
it was the Elon Musk show.
I think it's one of those things where I think like the audience ruined it more for me than anything. Like, everyone who's really got a big heart on for Elon Musk, they just remind me of people I really didn't like from school. Like, there's a very specific type of person who like absolutely is obsessed with Elon Musk, and a lot of them are
probably know. If you get a Venn diagram of people that are obsessed with Elon Musk and people who think Adam Sandler's 90s movies are funny still, there's probably a big overlap in there.
Yeah, the replies to like the tweet announcing his that he was hosting SNL were great. Or that one where he said he asked for suggestions of skit ideas.
Yeah, he's write my sketches for me. Like, what?
Yeah, and people were coming up with the worst ones, like the Doge father. It's meant to be like the Godfather, but with Doge. It was just like just the most.
Oh man, I want to beat that idea up. Wow.
Yeah, it's that feeling. But oh god. Anyway, shout out to Elon Musk. Yeah. Please come on the podcast.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, I would have Elon Musk
be their
on the
first
podcast.
Guest with Asperger's.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually a similar situation because our very first guest had Asperger's, so actually,
and it was Dan Aykroyd.
Parallel. Yeah, no, it was Pogo, but
talked about aliens and skull vodka.
Yeah,
that's insane. It's so weird. He's behind skull vodka. Like, what a weird. Because I've seen skull vodka.
I bought it once, and I mean, I made cocktails with it. Like, vodka is kind of, for me, I'm like not Russian, so like it just tastes like alcohol. Like, that's all it tastes like to me.
Yeah.
Some vodkas are better than others, obviously. But yeah, it was fine. You mostly get it so you have the bottle.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you get it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Also, I don't feel like it's that weird. I feel like most moguls kind of have something like that at some point. Like, and I'm not trying to be political here, just pointing it out. Like, Trump had that thing where he had Trump steaks at Sharper Image.
Oh yeah. I love that. What a weird.
And they were terrible steaks. They were like D quality meat.
Yeah. I love the video of him advertising that.
He doesn't know because he always has the steaks well done like a maniac. Yeah,
exactly. God.
And the Sharper Image, like, I'm not American, but like Sharper Image is not a place you buy steaks either, is it?
It's Sharper like Image is like a technology gadget kind of place.
Technically, it was not a place you would buy anything from. You would just go there and look at the fish and then you'd walk away because it was too expensive and impractical. The only thing they sold there, like really sold, were the Razor scooters.
Yeah.
They were practical and they were affordable.
Yeah, it's like one of the two places as a dude that you could go while your girlfriend was shopping for clothes. Like, that and GameStop, basically. You just go hang out.
EB. Yeah. Brookstone, you go sit in the massage chairs.
Yeah. Sharper Image, you play with tchotchkes. You don't buy steak there.
Sometimes I go to the toy store as well if they sold Warhammer and just look at the Warhammer and be like, I can't afford this.
Yeah.
Oh, they just have a straight up Warhammer store now.
Well, yeah, it depends.
Not even a toy store.
Yeah, it depends where you are. Back in my little town, they had a small corner of a toy store, but when I moved to a big city, I got to go to an actual Games Workshop, and I was like, this is epic. I still can't afford this, though.
Speaking of what we were just talking about, I'm going to put something out there, and I really don't even mean this politically at all. It's been really nice to unclench my butthole this year. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just to have things kind of normal for a while and have, like, a president I'm not hearing about all the time. Like,
it's so nice that politics are boring.
Yeah. Again. We're just chilling. I mean,
I'm definitely more dialed in after the last 5 years. Like, yeah. I'm still paying attention. I'm still reading. But I'm not, it's not like doom scrolling, you know, like opening my news app in the morning and be like, I'm jumping in fucking lava.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like, if you're listening to this and you're a Trump supporter, support who you want. This is democracy, but like,
he lost the election though. So he lost.
Yeah. And also like, you know, isn't it nice that like things are a little bit more relaxed now and everything's not as much of it. It's still a shit show. But it's like a contained shit show.
Nothing's ever going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Did we feel like there was like a schism after 2016 and like things kind of changed? I don't know. I sort of see.
Yeah.
Have you seen the theories about how like the universe like merged in 2016 and that's why like all this weird shit happened? I kind of fuck with that theory. I don't believe it. But it's like, it just feel like something happened. You kind of can mark like, and just the way like culture is and the way people have changed it. Yeah. I don't know. Before 2016, maybe it was just because I'm getting older and I'm starting to see the world.
Well, it's also like boomers getting on Facebook, and
yeah, just like that. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. That was one of those things that just 180'd out of nowhere. Like all the boomers who were like, "Nah, never gonna use Facebook. It's just a waste of money and time." And now you go on Facebook, and there's like boomers posting fucking essays every day.
It is kind of like one of those things where it's like. Back in the 90s, there's something to be said for the lack of internet. Like, it was a thing, but you didn't necessarily have, like, a platform to tell everyone exactly how you feel right now. Like, that was probably better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there are benefits to being able to post a status update, but I don't think most people should have any business around them.
Yeah. I want to talk about LinkedIn real quick. Are you guys on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Technically, yes. Yeah. I haven't looked at it in years.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm kind of in the same boat, but I love I've been following this Twitter account called The Best of LinkedIn, and it's so interesting because like it's such an interesting social media because it's so different to every other one. Like, I guess all social medias are, but LinkedIn is. If Instagram is you trying to lie to people about how great your life is by taking photos of you and like. You know, photoshopping your body to look great and then in exotic locales and, you know, at expensive restaurants and shit. LinkedIn is like that, but for business people. And so it sees like boomers like just lying all the time. And that best of LinkedIn Twitter is great because they'll be like, I think they have this thing called Make Up a Kid Monday where like they post like a story that someone on LinkedIn's made up where it's like, today my 14-year-old daughter came up to me and told me that she'd just been studying. About credit cards for the last hour, and she wants me to help her set up her credit score but just like just making shit up or like stories of them having to teach their kid a harsh lesson and how it relates back to their business or something. It's the wankiest shit, but it's so funny because like none of this happened, but it's not like Twitter or Facebook where people can just bully them into be like, you're a fucking liar. Because everybody has to act sort of professional.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really fuck with LinkedIn just because. Okay, the one use it has here in America, I think, is that a lot of businesses, when you apply to them, you can just give them your LinkedIn, and then it's like instead of having to bother with a resume. So that's nice.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Before I was a full time YouTuber, I have used LinkedIn to get. Contracts in the past, so it has been useful for me before, but I just can't be bothered with it anymore.
I think in America, most people in my age bracket, most people in like age brackets below me as well, they have a LinkedIn just because like some old person told them to make one, and it's like it exists, but it's probably like 3 or 4 years out of date. And
yeah,
yeah.
It's such a weird, I don't know. It's funny though, because like I said, most people are trying to be professional, so they're not like going out and like dunking on these people who severely need to be dunked on. But every now and then, especially, you know, to get political again, back when like people would post, you know, some super hot take on either side of the political spectrum.
Super hot.
And every now and then, yeah, super hot.
Super hot.
Super hot. They turned into a red glass man and started shooting people. Anyway, they would post some stupid hot take, and then someone would just lose their fucking mind in the comments. And it was just even funnier because it would be some dude in a suit, like, again, who's meant to be pretty professional, but then he'd just be like, something would trigger him, something in his brain, and he would just throw that out the window to just scream profanity at someone on LinkedIn. So I'd see that sometimes, and that always made me laugh. But yeah, fuck LinkedIn.
I wish I could delete it, but there's this weird thing. I don't know if you guys have this in Australia, but there is a perception in America that if you don't have a LinkedIn, then it's like, well, what are you hiding?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, it's not universal, but I do know some people who are like that. Where like, if you don't have normal social media profiles, they think something's off. Like, I don't use Facebook anymore, and I haven't for a very long time. And I keep it just on the off chance that some employer's like, why don't you have a Facebook? What are you hiding from me? Because I've heard horror stories about that. And I don't want to just like, I don't know. Although maybe those are the places I shouldn't be working.
You shouldn't work for people that are obsessed with your social presence online.
I've heard stories, and I don't know how true these are, but I've heard stories that like some companies will make you let them log into your Facebook so they can look around. I don't know how true this is.
I think there's a law against that here now.
That's illegal here.
There should be a law against that here. Fuck.
Yeah.
There might be in the States as well, but yeah, I definitely know that is a law because people were doing that and they were like, well, this is a severe breach of privacy. So you're not allowed to. I'm sure some employees still try and do that because, you know, people probably just do it because they're desperate. But in theory, they're not meant to.
I always thought it was funny because, like, most of my interactions on social media have always been so boring. Like, they're not going to find anything spicy for the most part. Like,
I'm sure if you go back like 8 years, I probably said some dumb shit, but it's like,
I'm sure that I got some dumb stuff. There were some videos on my YouTube that I privated a long time ago. I was like, that shit doesn't fly anymore. I don't know why I was saying that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying about like the schism in 2016. It felt like something just changed then when all of a sudden, like a lot of stuff became, not acceptable anymore. There was like a hard line drawn right there. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just something I've noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, he's spitting facts. I just don't know what to say.
You okay there?
Good. I need to piss really bad and all the piss is going to my brain.
Diction, let's take a few minutes here. Let's let Kudos go take a piss. Well, let's talk video games for a little while. Cause I feel like we haven't really done that.
I'll be back.
Okay. So, Diction, what have you been really digging on lately?
I'm like super late to the game, and I've been really getting into roguelikes.
Okay.
They never quite. I didn't get into them back in the Binding of Isaac day, just because like I love the art style and everything, and I understood the concept of the genre.
Yeah.
I just didn't really like. I'm a guy that likes good combat. It's a combat video game, and the combat in that game was just so boring to me.
Got it.
It's just you're shooting tears out, and they go. And it's just, I'm not getting enough feedback. So, when Hades dropped, that really, like, I mean, people said enough about Hades. It's a masterpiece. Go play it. And I'm really mad I don't have a PS5 because Returnal looks really fucking good.
Yeah.
But
I have been playing Hitman 2. Are you into the Hitman series at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Something about
one of the best sandbox games.
I know. I love it. Something about that series triggers something in my ape brain. That is just like really, really like it just works for me. Just this idea that there are hundreds and hundreds of ways to complete a task. And it's like, in theory, there isn't that much content on the like the surface where it's like, oh, you kill like six people and that's the game. But just the different ways you can do it are just fantastic. I did this thing where I went through every single one of the opportunities and just like, it was one of my favorite gaming experiences of all time. And so now I'm trying to like get back into it now that there's Hitman 3. I'm like working my way through the series.
3's got some really goofy shit in it.
Okay.
Like really goofy. They leaned in hard. Like they're like, okay, this is why people like this series.
Yeah.
Because they can get goofy with it.
Oh yeah.
There's a YouTuber, you probably know Bed Bananas.
I've heard the name.
Yeah. He has several Hitman videos that he made that are hilarious and incredible in equal measures. The shit that he did, the amount of time he probably spent setting up certain kills, and like there's like a whole bit where he just fills an entire bathroom with dead bodies until everyone's dead on the map. Like just like all this, but you don't watch him do it. He cuts it to like classical music and it's all like very cinematic. But Hitman's a great series. I'm glad they went the route that they did when they brought it back.
Well, how's that?
Well, the Absolution came out and it had one level in it
that
felt like a sandbox with a lot of people and NPCs and stuff. But for the most part, the game was linear. It was like you'd go from point A to point B to point C in the level and then complete it. And people didn't like that because that was not what Blood Bunny was all about. I think Blood Bunny is the one that people revere the most. When they went back to the drawing board and did the episodic Hitman game, that's when they're like, okay, we're just going to totally dial in on this. Here's a giant map, tons of like weapons, tons of people, loads of ways you can get away with murder and get caught. Go. Have fun.
Yeah. I really do think there's something to be said for leaning into the goofiness. I noticed that in Metal Gear Solid 5 as well. Like the amount of shenanigans you can get up to in an otherwise fairly serious game makes it a lot of fun. Like that's a good trait to have, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, kudos.
It's like if you make a game open world too, it's like you owe it to your audience for like content that isn't just, Watch Dogs is like the worst example of how not to do open world games. Like, there's so little to actually do in those worlds. It's like, why build them so big if I'm basically just doing the story the whole time and everything else is just dull?
The one thing I will say about Watch Dogs 2 is that like it was kind of interesting because it was a pretty very faithful recreation of San Francisco. Like it was cool to just be able to head on around there.
I live here. It's are you talking about like the culture? Like for the map size? This is definitely squished.
Well, yeah, no, I know it's not 1-to-1, but I remember like I've traveled there and I was like, oh, I've been to this place before. It was kind of cool. Obviously it's not like completely realistic, but I think it kind of did a good job of that.
They definitely got some of the neighborhoods and the vibe, you know, definitely. I mean, they nailed it when it came into like the shitty tech bro attitude, you know, Silicon Valley type.
Sure. Anyway, kudos. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's really what I have time for. Oh, and Raid Shadow Legends.
Well,
for no reason in particular.
Not a sponsor.
Nope. Definitely not. No, I assume.
Not with that attitude.
new sponsor coming soon, but it's not going to be Raid Shadow Legends.
Raid Shadman Legends. Assassin's Creed a little bit. I've actually played it before. I just wanted... Assassin's Creed Valhalla is not like a good game necessarily, but I kind of like it just because I'm just a sucker for like a cool environment. Oh,
that's an interesting question. Do you guys have any games like that where it's, you know, it's not good, but you dig it anyway?
Yeah. I feel like everyone has those games.
Probably most of Assassin's Creed. I'm a little sucker for... as a 3D background artist by trade, I take a lot of pleasure in games with like beautiful environments. So like, I'm a bit, I am kind of that dickhead who's like, the graphics in this game actually do make it better. I know that's like, obviously I'd rather have a game with good gameplay over amazing graphics, but if it has both, obviously that's going to be a big bonus.
Yeah, of course. I was a big fan of the Mad Max game, even though I knew that the components didn't fit very well. And there was just a lot of repetitive, go to this outpost, beat up dudes, solve maybe one shitty puzzle, unlock this area on the map. But like the aesthetics of driving around that world, that wasteland, is so cool. Like I would just drive around just to drive because it was fun. And I would just go find, you know, war parties to go fuck with.
But as
stitched together experience, it's got all these components that don't really vibe, and like they already did them in the Batman Arkham series, you know, like just felt like they were just kind of like taking what worked in that, like especially the combat. It's like, okay, this here's how Batman fought in this game. Now Mad Max is going to do that too, except he has a shotgun. Cool, right?
Yeah, I think Mad Max games are always going to benefit from just having such fucking cool source material. Like,
yeah,
Fury Road is just like, it's such an awesome aesthetic that
Fury Road feels like a video game almost.
Yeah, I really hope they make more of that.
I think
fucking George Miller's going back to the desert to make another one. Is he like 80 now? He's 80 years old,
something like that.
Oh, he's a champ.
I wanted to really like the Mad Max game, but to my point before about really like environments, that game was just all desert, which makes sense, obviously.
Yeah.
But like,
it had different biomes and areas, but there were just different parts of the desert that kind of looked.
Yeah. So I think I just got a bit
the same.
I just got a bit burnt out on like, oh, yep, more desert. There it is.
The world was way bigger than it needed to be. They could have like, I would not have been complained if they just got rid of half the map and that was it.
Mm.
Like, that's fine by me.
Yeah, I really don't. I think Assassin's Creed, just all of them, they're not great games, but I'm just a sucker for them just because I like the exploring like the environments because they're really beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just like,
I can get that just like chill on your couch and just like kind of zone out.
Yeah.
Play.
The freedom of movement as well. I've realized, like you said before, about Mad Max having just riding around sick. I think if a game has a fun transport system, I'm like 100% into it.
Oh,
kind of no matter what it is.
Okay. I'm going to bolster your point, kudos, and I'm going to bring up an observation, which is that occasionally I think that a single gadget in a video game can make the experience like 1,000 times better.
Very
and
true.
And the example I'm going to give of that in Assassin's Creed Syndicate with the zipline.
Oh, dude, this is so fun.
Oh, my God, that was so much fun to play. And it made it so easy to get around the world. The game itself was pretty repetitive, but it was such like a blast just to get places.
Yeah, this like I love that. And so the new Assassin's Creed doesn't really have that because they're all set in like like mud huts, so you not a lot to climb.
Yeah.
But the ones that were like in the city, like Unity and Syndicate and stuff, where it was like you actually had to like plan your way up and down things, like you had to actually kind of survey the land to be like, oh, okay, I can run up this window here and then run along this thing here and get onto the roof and then jump over and stuff. It felt like you were like an assassin or like a parkour god, and that always felt really cool. It was like,
really
makes you feel
like assassin.
The new Assassin's Creed really makes you feel like an assassin
and a Creed.
Spider-Man as well, obviously, and Batman, both games that have like
locomotion.
I installed Arkham Asylum recently again. It doesn't hold up. I wish
did.
Yeah. It's just, it's really starting to show its age at this point.
Sure.
And it's like I realized how the combat is like, it's too floaty and it's like, it gives you too much of an advantage. And it's just, I don't know.
I absolutely loved Arkham Knight. And it's a real shame because that game had the worst PC port in the history of PC ports. And that completely overshadowed.
God, yeah.
It completely overshadowed how good the game was. Because it's actually really fun. And there's so many like Easter eggs and details. And the graphics are amazing. And like the Batmobile.
I love how they were able to solve the problem of using the Batmobile and not murdering people with it. And it's just. It shocks them.
It's so
which
dumb.
Is like,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It just shocks them and they fly away from it. All right.
And if
fine.
You shoot them with your fucking turret, it's just rubber bullets. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It goes
from being armor piercing to rubber because it identifies as human in the player. I don't know.
And then all the tanks you face are manned by robots and not people, so it's okay to blow them up, even though the.
It's like, just pull a Snyder and let him murder people. Like,
it makes sense at this point.
I didn't
of
have
his,
a problem with that.
Yeah, at this point of his career, he's so jaded and he's just like, fuck, he doesn't care anymore. That'd be kind of an interesting path to take with it.
There have definitely been comics where Batman is old and grizzled and doesn't give a flying fuck anymore.
Yeah. So that, you know, and like driving the Batmobile, speaking of cool trends, obviously ziplining around is really fun in the Arkham games. But the Batmobile, like, you just feel like you're driving an actual tank. Like, they put destructible physics on, like, every corner of every building. So if you take a corner too tight, you just, like, drive through it and don't stop. Like, it doesn't slow you down the slightest. So you really feel like you're just driving a big tank. So satisfying.
That's, That's what I really like about the Just Cause series, is everything explodes.
Yeah.
Four sucked, though. Like, what happened with Just Cause 4? Like, it was...
I don't know. They were just kind of like, well, tornadoes.
Yeah.
All right, goodbye.
Like, I think the number one review on Steam for Just Cause 4 says something along the lines of, just go play Just Cause 3. Like, it's just better. Like, that's, like, the number one review.
Just go mod in the tornadoes into 3.
Yeah. Good. Oh, well. They're also coming out with, apparently, they're developing a new Saints Row. I don't know if you guys play that.
Oh, yeah.
I love Saints Row 3. I never played 4, though.
4 is... 4,
it's a power fantasy. It's not really a Saints Row game.
Yeah. I really liked it.
You literally can run up buildings, and it's like prototype. You're basically playing prototype in the Saints Row universe.
Which I don't think was a bad thing. I really liked that game.
No, it was fun.
Yeah.
But it was like... when I was playing it, I was like, oh, this isn't canon, is it? Like, story-wise, this is all bullshit, and this is just... Because it wasn't supposed to be a DLC, and then they were like, well, we kind of put too much shit in this, so we might as well just call it a sequel, I guess.
Yeah, and then they did Get Out of Hell DLC, which was also kind of like made it into its own game because it was so long.
Yeah.
That wasn't as fun as Just Cause 4, not Just Cause 4, Saints Row 4, but the aesthetics were kind of cool. Like, you went to hell, and like William Shakespeare was a DJ there, and it was just like kind of a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Saints Row 3 has like a special place in my heart because it was the first time I built my own PC. And
yeah.
I remember I'd played it like for like an hour or two before that. And then I built my new PC and then I put it on and I cranked the settings up to maximum. And that game looked like really good at the time. So just like driving around with like all the motion blur and the fucking bloom and all the shit, I was like, oh,
well, kudos.
It's new.
Diddly doodos, dude. You gotta get on remastered. Do you ever buy that yet?
I've not. I should.
Yeah, we talked about this before. This seems like it would be a perfect game for you.
I do like Saints Row. I do like the silliness of it.
Yeah.
Although I do wonder if it's have you gone back and played GTA 5 like since? I played GTA Online quite a bit, but goddamn, all the hipster stuff in that game has aged so badly.
Yeah.
I didn't think hipsters would like. Because I guess that was like the talk of the town back in like, was it 2013, 14?
Yeah.
When did 5 come out?
I don't remember. It's been a while. Yeah.
It's definitely one of those things where you're like, oh God, this really we really need a new one of these because this is so out of date.
Yeah.
Well, at least GTA 5's coming to PS5. Yay.
Wow. Yeah. The third console.
Fantastic. More ways for you to shovel money into their outlets.
Tom in the chat, by the way, at discord.t1podcast.com, if you want to tune these episodes live, posted a screenshot of the Just Cause 4 review from IGN, and they scored it 7.9 good. Of course they did. Of course IGN gave a game a 7.9 when it probably deserved like a 2 or a 4.
My favorite is when they refuse to give terrible movies bad reviews, and then they give decent movies like horrible reviews.
Oh, the Armand White.
Yeah, like Suicide Squad probably has like what, a 4?
Yeah.
Some shit like that. When it really deserves about a 1, maybe even a negative number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
I just go there for news.
Yeah, I haven't trusted IGN for scores in like a decade at this point. It's not worth it.
I like the format of the IGN review, but yeah, the scores are bullshit. I usually just watch it just to get like a quick like, all right, here's some spoiler free gameplay footage.
Like, well, IGN reviews are...
They gave it a 5.9. Oh.
IGN reviews would be great if they didn't add a score.
And like Kotaku stopped doing that a while ago, and it makes their reviews a lot more digestible.
Yep. Or if they didn't talk as well, that'd be useful.
That'd be good too.
Yeah. I love how IGN gives the game an 8 out of 10. Has been a meme for like, what, like 15 years now, and it still holds true. Like they never addressed that. It's still as it's always been.
I get this. I've got friends who are journos and stuff. I understand it's all about click throughs and ads and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the article title. I'm trying to find it now that it came out today. The article titles that you don't need to click on to get the information. I'm pretty sure it was How to Watch Loki, the TV series that's upcoming.
Oh
yeah.
Which, and like, I will sometimes I know people from IGN that like follow me, so I stopped doing this a while ago, but I would take a screen grab of those articles and then I would just tweet the answer to the whatever the article was asking. They were like, there you go, saved you a click.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now I'm like, I'm trying to be a little less toxic on the internet about shit like that, but Yeah, I always found that really funny. I was like, how do you watch Loki? Disney Plus.
Yeah. there's that Tom put in chat that saved your click. The Saved Your Click and Saved Your Click video game Twitter accounts, which literally just post, you know, what you said. And they're really useful to help because, yes, some of them are so bait. Like, I know it's, you know, it's a meme talking about like fucking video game journalism. And there are some, you know, there are some legit good game journals out there. But God, some of it's like the stuff that they do the Saved Your Click on. It'll be like, here's everything we know about Breath of the Wild 2. And then the Saved Your Click is, we don't know anything besides the trailer from 3 years ago. And it's like, why'd you make that an article then?
it's so weird. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and defend that and say that I'm guessing that they're parking a space for that and they're going to add to it as they go. I think that's probably the...
Yeah, no, that it's like a game FAQ.
Yeah.
But if it's like an article, like a new article that comes out in like 2021.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you kind of assume.
My favorite is literally the day of, like, say, the Mortal Kombat movie releasing. You log on to IGN and the entire first row is just like, how much can we spoil this movie that literally dropped like 2 hours ago?
Mm-hmm. I hate that shit.
Yeah. Spoilers for any of you listening. Mortal Kombat's not that good, so it doesn't matter. Just we'll watch it.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Not that good.
I wanted it to be good.
Okay, so you know what? You know what, man? Okay, and Mortal Kombat's a cool movie, not movie series. Mortal Kombat's a cool game series. You didn't have to tell me that the movie wasn't going to be very good. Obviously.
Yeah. Like, I went into it being like, I'm going to moderately enjoy myself, and that's about it.
Yeah, I figured it'd be like exactly somewhere between a 4 and a 6.
I'm not going to get mad at this movie, you know? Yeah.
Like, IGN gave it a 7.
Yeah.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. Probably had someone's like niece write the article.
By the way, if any of the bigger journalists from IGN want to come on and defend themselves, you're more than welcome to at some point.
We will bully.
We'll take you to task. Yeah.
IGN or whatever, that's one thing. Have you ever been on like a smaller games journalism website and it's just the absolute worst? The thing I've found recently, have you guys seen this where they'll disguise like game walkthrough tips as articles? So like, yeah. I was searching something about Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I think I just wanted to find out like, what are the updates that are coming up for it in the future? And like your suggested article will be like, here's what happened if you choose this character over this character for this important story part. And I click on it because I've already done it, so I don't care about having it spoiled. And yeah, it's like, it's just a game walkthrough, but like written as an article. It's really bizarre.
Is that not useful though? It is.
I mean, if you wanted to know like that one specific thing, it's just kind of weird because it's like presented on like a website like IGN and with an article title as though it's like an article. And then it's just like a single part of a walkthrough. It's kind of weird, but useful, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense because it's like, obviously I don't look up walkthroughs because I'm not a fucking pussy, but you know, like if I was going to look something up, it would be kind of nice not to have to go through the entire walkthrough. Like they will have anticipated my needs and have an article for something. That's cool.
Here's my hot take of the, you know, you ripped out YouTubers who use editors. Here's my hot take. I think people who use walkthroughs are losers and that's mean. I don't believe that. I just never understood why you'd want a walkthrough. It's like the point of a game is to challenge you. And so if you...
Oh. Counterpoint.
I can imagine if you get stuck somewhere that you want to be able to be like, all right, I can't get past this part. I'll look up how to get past this part. I've done that before, but like, the whole thing unless you want to
who's the market for those like Brady games, like the full walkthrough, like, okay, go here, shoot these guys, all right, in the next room, interact with this door. Like, is anyone sitting there with that? Like,
yeah, for a
lap?
Shooter. Obviously, but maybe not for like an RPG where the systems are fairly complex and you might want to have reference material.
Yeah.
Like, a big example of that, James, would be WoW. Like, you want to have a guide for that up pretty much at all times.
I suppose that's true. I take that back.
Destroy! All right.
I think World of Warcraft's a weird one because I feel like that's a game that really... you do genuinely need a walkthrough because a lot of it's just not explained in game.
Yeah.
You know, like I will say that's like a large critique you could give WoW is you can get all the way up to the max level, no problem, just cruising through. And then once you get to Mexico, the game's like, well, fuck you. Figure it out by yourself. And then there's like almost nothing in game that does that.
Yeah, they do it. They did a pretty good job with that in Shadowlands, I think. But you're right that that classically has been a serious issue for the game.
Like, how do you know you're meant to, like, I mean, you're not meant to raid, but that's kind of one of the main things to do in the game at max level. But nothing in the game, like, points you towards that if you're a new player. You kind of have to...
They've gotten better at that over the years. But yeah. Anyway, by the way, we're running out of time here.
Oh, piss.
Addiction, is there anything else you really want to get to before we start to wrap things up?
No. No, I've just been enjoying the discussion, except for a while, because I don't play it.
Yeah, I got to say, man, this has been a really enjoyable chat with you. I've had a lot of fun.
I like talking about video game addiction. Yeah. We should have talked about some really interesting topics. This has been great.
Yeah. Good podcast, guys. Great job.
At penis.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we get the official at penis, I've tried to follow them, but my follow is pending. So if they can approve that, that would be great. And
yeah.
Oh, are they like protected or something?
Yeah, exactly.
They're wearing a condom?
Yeah, they're really giving you blue balls on that one, kudos. It's kind of...
Well, no, that'd be at balls, not penis.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It says, who has at balls?
At balls. Let me put it like this. Balls. Balls. There are two of us. It's just some novelty account.
Well, I'm like... Oh, nice. I'm following that, too.
At balls.
Dude just has at balls.
Yeah.
Sweet. And now I follow them.
Snag.
I hope I get a tweet someday when someone's just like looks up balls and they just say followed by many kudos and they tweet that image at me. Oh, okay.
Speaking of which, by the way, Diction, if people want to go find your stuff, what's the best way to do that?
On Twitter, I am Diction, and on Twitch, also Diction.
All right.
Super simple.
Okay. And
you can't fuck it up.
You said that you don't really post YouTube videos anymore. Do you want to give a link to that anyway, just in case people want to see your backlog?
Yeah, I think it's still Eat My Diction 1 on there.
Trying to distance yourself.
I heard that YouTube
from
is finally going to allow you to change your handle, so yeah. I'll start posting again eventually. I promise.
Okay. All right. As long as you promise. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's going to do it. Diction, like I said, it's been a blast. You've been a delight, and I'm honored to have had you on the show. Thank you very much.
Likewise.
Thanks for the invite.
Great yarning. Thanks for coming on.
Wait, great yarn? What does that mean?
Yarning.
Yeah, yarning.
Yawning.
Spinning yarn with an R.
More of that ambiguous Australian accent. You've been listening to the first podcast. Subscribe today on youtube.com/c/thefirstpodcast if you want to get episodes of the show as soon as they are done being released in a nice spicy video format. Donate on patreon.com/t1podcast to get bonus episodes of the show, early listening privileges, a funny role in the Discord, a patron only chat, a platonic kiss from Doplex, and more. I think that's going to do it, kiddos.
By the way,
he's stuck in a penis contest.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's a trailer place to get stuck. But
yeah, kudos. Can you lead our guest out?
Diction, just is micropenis a syndrome, or is that like a con? I mean.